Yet a little while, says the Master. And the world will see me no more. This is before the crucifixion, before Gethsemane. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more. But ye will behold me. He's talking to people, disciples, men who appear as flesh. The world won't behold me, but you will. What made them so special that they could behold him, but the world couldn't? They were going to slide behind mortal thought. They weren't going to look out with human eyes and see him. But the point is, who are they going to see? He even says something more important than that. Because I live, ye shall live. And therefore Christ is saying to us, because I, Christ, live, ye shall live. This Christ, which is moving into an appearance of crucifixion, says, because I live, ye shall live. In other words, this illusion called death coming up, that's your mortal thought. Slide behind it. Because I live, not I die. And because I am life itself, because I am the only begotten, ye shall live, because ye are the only begotten. We are the same self. One self is being taught in that statement. Because I live, ye shall live. That which is the eternal Christ is saying, you are the eternal Christ. But it is not speaking of your mortal selfhood. It is speaking of that self which knows it is not this little local creature, but is now an eternal being. And that must become higher in our conscious awareness. Because Christ lives, you must live. There's no other self. The disciples were at a great disadvantage. They still had a Jesus. This was a puzzlement to them. But on the cross, there was revealed something other than Jesus. And we don't have that disadvantage. We know that the invisible begotten Son is all that was present anywhere. There was no one else. In this world, it appears that way. But in the first heaven, you will see that there was no one else, only the one infinite begotten Son. And we will know that now to make our entry. Because the only begotten Son lives, ye shall live, because it is you. And if this were not spoken to other disciples, we could not know this. But they were no different than we are. Again, the level of acceptance determines the experience. If you waver, if you doubt, your experience will reflect that wavering and that doubt. If there's something in you that can slide behind mortal thought and accept, that something is your soul awareness. And it will take you the rest of the way. Whatever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he shall give you. My name is the only begotten Son, the infinite Son. Asking in my name means knowing yourself to be the infinite Son. Knowing is asking. And just the knowing attains the full flow of infinity into your conscious experience. Now please listen to this very carefully, because it should eliminate even the merest shadow of uncertainty in your mind. The thrust of everything we have learned so far is that infinity, infinite life, individualizes as your life. And that your life and infinite life are one and the same expression. And here is the statement to you that this is the truth which you can depend on. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And there is a statement of one divine life. The same life for the Father, the same life for the Son. The one continuous infinite life. That statement. The Christ speaking as the Father. For the Christ has said, I speak nothing of myself but what the Father tells me. So God says directly to you, my life individualizes as your life. And if you don't understand it, read it again and again and meditate on it again and again until something in you says, I understand it, it is so. Now that life has no age. That life has no beginning. That life knows nothing about human tomorrows, which come and go. That life is already existent where every human tomorrow seems to be. And it is your life. And I say live it and go back into eternity in all directions and realize the presence of your life everywhere. And you'll find that that stretching brings into play that life. In ways we know not of, as the Master said, will do greater works that ye may marvel. The greater works are merely the realization of your own infinite being, coming into consciousness. That's the greater works. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead, and it means those in flesh, when the dead, those in flesh are considered dead because they're stagnant. They're not spiritually alive. The hour is coming, and now is when the dead, when the mortal in flesh will hear the voice of the Son of God. And to hear the voice of the Son of God is to know it is I. I am that Son of God. And those who hear will live, will enter the first heaven. I think this is the verification, if we ever needed one, that transition is the only way you can move in this work in order to meet the requirement of spirit, which says, be reborn of the spirit. You cannot allow yourself to rest in mortal stagnation. You must move up the ladder of spirit by accepting life, by accepting infinity, by accepting yourself to be the only begotten infinite life of the Father. And now, letting your conscious awareness of that truth be expanded by daily practice and acknowledgement of it, so that invisible doorways open to you that no one can open for you. Only your own inner probing, your own inner resting, your own inner receptivity. But this is the way you move in order to open that receptivity. The acceptance of the truth is the key in the lock. And then the truth activates itself in the consciousness that accepted it. We are being told that our birthplace was in paradise, which is another way of saying that we were really never born. But having been born in paradise, having been existent before the world was, our return to that knowledge is our return to paradise. It's not a fiction. It's not a script for a TV. It's the way things are. And each one of us has the opportunity, none more than the other, no matter what our past has been in this world or any previous world, we each have the equal opportunity to return to paradise, to our birthplace, to our reality. Born in paradise, reborn in paradise. It's probably the only thing that makes this life a total fulfillment beyond the normal human success. It gives you everything that this life has to offer, plus opening the doorway to another fuller, more fulfilling, innerly satisfying life that fulfills your divine self as well as your human sense of self. Now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. But also, listen to this. I pray for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. The glorification of Christ Jesus was merely to show the way to the glorification of mankind. And that glorification is identity. I was given a passage before I sat down, and I looked it up. And I find that it's a sort of a summation of what our lesson was tonight. It's in Revelation 3:14. unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, and this is now about the nature of Christ. These things said the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. The beginning of the creation of God. Christ is the beginning of the creation of God. Your only begotten self is the beginning of the creation of God. If you are not conscious of the beginning of the creation of God as yourself, for you, there is no creation of God. And that's the importance of this statement, that Christ is the beginning of the creation of God, and Christ is you, and Christ is the only begotten Son, and only the Christ, the only begotten Son, is one with the Father. And that is why John originally told us, none can know, no man can know God or see God. Only the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Only the creation of God, the beginning of that creation, knows God. And therefore, without yourself being that beginning, you're the branch cut off. And so, we're holding our consciousness at that high level. Divine consciousness is present. Infinity is its name. It is expressing infinitely as the Son. That Son is the only Son. There is no second. There is no second self anywhere. And if you are going to let the wayward mind go off into the belief in second selves anywhere, you are that prodigal who has left the Father's house. Now, we've done that too many centuries. So at this point, it's holding the consciousness at the level of knowing that not only am I the only begotten and my neighbor too, but there is no other self anywhere in the universe. I told you it would be difficult to come to the place where you could say, I am the only. But as we learn more and more, you'll find you can, with inner justification and assurance, finally make the statement, I am the only, because the only is infinite and there is no second. I would say that if you could now get into a spiritual position where you can make the request within that you are aware of the nature of being and the need for spiritual evolvement, and that you will abide by the requirements of spiritual evolution, letting the force evolve itself, just as the leaf lets the sap move through it without asking for more or directing the sap, telling it where to come, but simply awaiting the fullness of the tree, knowing that every leaf on the tree is going to be taken care of. If you will accept that because you are a spiritual being in a state of consciousness evolving to higher realms, that there is a force at work doing this within you now, and try to, in some way, not interfere with that force, you will become conscious of it. And you will become conscious of yourself as that force. And you will eliminate the second or dual consciousness which has always been trying to play traffic cop and direct the spirit instead of letting the spirit do its own thing. We're tying our hands behind our back. We're tying our thoughts. We're sliding behind them. We're resting in the Word. We're watching our own being evolve. That's where we are on this Friday. Could we close with a quiet time?